Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I'm so thrilled that you've chosen to join us today as we join along in your earbuds, AirBuds, coverall headphones, whatever headphones you're wearing, whatever place that you're. Maybe you're doing dishes. Maybe you're driving in your car. And we are joining along on a pleasant drive. Maybe there's snow outside. Maybe it's frosty. Maybe it's warm and cozy in your vehicle and you're looking at Christmas lights. Or maybe you're just looking out at the beautiful Canadian landscape. But welcome to the next episode here where we get to explore, I think, one of the coolest nonprofits that you need to hear about. So thank you so much for joining us today where we're going to talk about Venture Kids.
Hi, everyone. I am so happy to be able to share with you about Venture Kids, about the other amazing things that I'm doing. I wear a couple of hats. You know, I run Venture Kids and I'm also a tech journalist. Perhaps my voice is familiar. I'm on CBC Radio and I'm on BBC World News Service. So I really have the opportunity, the pleasure of being able to talk tech and service all day long. And I'm so excited to be on the podcast with you. Thanks for having me.
No, it's so, so wonderful. So hey, how does someone go from journalism into launching something like Venture Kids?
So honestly, I've been working in the journalism space for a while and tech has always been my beat. I've always, you know, interviewed really amazing leaders and entrepreneurs, Dorsey to Musk. And I think in Canada, there's so much potential here, and there's always been this gap that exists. Whenever I talk to entrepreneurs, they would always talk about how it was a little challenging to find talent, specifically affordable talent, because whenever individuals had the chance, they would always, you know, migrate to the US where there are bigger companies and perhaps better pay. And I've heard this for, you know, ages, and I honestly disagreed with that theory just because as a journalist, I talk to people all the time and there is so much talent in Canada, but it's overlooked. And so the idea came from, you know, giving opportunities, whether it's vocational, educational, to young people who live in underserved communities. And, you know, the definition for underserved that we work with is usually, you know, those families that are making under $40,000 a year. Although I will say that specific criteria has changed a bit in recent years because of how the economy has shifted. The cost of food, the cost of transportation has made it so that there are some families that could be deemed middle class who have trouble affording electricity, who have challenges when it comes to buying food or paying for lodging. So we've had, you know, slightly increase and change what that definition is. But there are so many young people who are incredibly smart in this country. And unfortunately, a lot of, you know, boot camps or services, they come with a cost. And so that means there is a huge chunk of young people who feel alienated from the workforce. They feel they don't have the skills to compete. At the same time, we have business leaders who are saying, what are we to do, you know, are having problems when it comes to finding international talent and bringing them here. We have problems finding Canadians who we would like to pay. So we felt like, and you know, myself and my team, we felt like, why not create this startup, this idea, and help both sides? And really, again, the youth that we work with are so smart and they want to succeed. They want really great jobs. And tech is one of the few places where if you can't afford, you know, college or university, there are internships that will help you find work and you can, you know, climb the corporate ladder, as they say, from there.
That's amazing. So, and just to take, what was your journey into becoming a journalist?
Yeah. So I always, this is going to be so cheesy. It's like a Lifetime movie. But, you know, I was always attracted to journalism and news. I was one of those people that was, you know, online reading news stories, you know, reading what people were doing. I fell in love with the idea that you could tell stories in so many different ways. And when I got to high school, I did an internship at my local newspaper that really fueled that love for writing and for video. And I parlayed that into, you know, an internship in university at CBC. And from there, I just continued to work and grow and find new opportunities. I will say that tech and business itself has always been the most attractive part. Some people focus on general, which is, you know, crime, can be infrastructure, it can be fashion, anything. I always felt tech and business was the most attractive to me because I felt that's where real innovation, real power, where real change was happening. I never thought that it would be viewed as essential as it is now. I always tell everyone, you know, I get that maybe tech and business sounds boring, but if you own a smartphone, you should be invested in not just what I write, but other tech writers across the country, because that little device has the power to change elections, to change our ecosystem, change how we ship goods around the world. And I truly fell in love with the way tech has the power to do that and the people behind the tech as well. Some of the smartest, you could argue bravest, because they're really, you know, trying new things and creating new things, what they're doing, how they're thinking, and how the world is integrating with them.
That's incredible. So highlights from your career so far, and I'm sure there'll be many more in the years to come, but any ones that you want to kind of bring up?
Yeah. I'd say, I guess, you know, this would probably be in the top 10, interviewing Jack Dorsey. That mm-hmm. was a really interesting experience for me. He's quite a unique person, obviously brilliant. But the opportunity to sit down with him, ask him questions, and then also perhaps have a conversation off stage. I mean, you can't imagine what it's like to live a life like that, where literally everywhere we went, people would stop and ask for pictures. You know, people surrounded him, asking him for help or pitching him ideas. It was an out of this world experience, and not just interviewing him, but just being in his orbit. And that's honestly the same with several of the well-known entrepreneurs I've met. Their world is just so different, and people are constantly asking or begging sometimes for advice or support. So that's been interesting. I will say, like, some of the most amazing stories that I've done are the ones that aren't necessarily like famous or traffic creating posts. So I did interview, this is an interesting startup. Unfortunately, the startup is no longer around, but I interviewed, you know, a parent. He was creating a startup. This is back in 2017, I think. He was creating a startup. Unfortunately, it didn't manage to take off. But I remember that interview specifically, and I'm not going to share his name because unfortunately the startup's not around and he's completely pivoted to a new career. But I remember when I was interviewing him and talking about, you know, how hard it was to juggle family and, you know, raising VC money, et cetera. And I spent a day with him, like, you know, from, you know, waking up in the morning to his office to late at night. And I always remember that interview because after I wrote it, so many people reached out being like, you know, I didn't know it was that hard. This was the time when Silicon Valley, the TV show, like, you know, the scrappy life of startups and how eventually you always succeed. But here I was writing about an entrepreneur who was, you know, at lack of, you know, better description, bleeding money and wasn't sure how to pay the mortgage. And he was not exactly a teenager. He was middle age. So that story was like, you know, some of the greatest stories aren't necessarily about a famous person. There are interesting stories about people who have overcome. Sometimes they haven't. So that one was pretty big. I did a CBC series called Cryptoland. So it looked at, this was huge. It was top five in Canada, the US, the UK. And it looked at, in particular, one individual, a Canadian. This ended up being a movie in the States. Looked at how he managed to essentially, well, he died under suspicious circumstances in India, but there are several people who, you know, accused him of stealing their money. They just kind of, a lot of the funds that his crypto exchange held disappeared. They were impossible to track. A lot of people accused him, you know, Gerald Cotton, they accused him of faking his death. It was an investigative series that is one of my favorite all-time audio stories that I've done. There's like a lot. Okay, I'm going to say one more. One is I did a feature on Timnit Gurbru. So I don't know if anyone knows her, but she's an AI researcher. She's one of the very, very few Black women in the AI space. She created her own institute where they're using AI to look at equitable issues plaguing communities, not just communities of color, but communities, you know, underserved ones, those in need, environmental issues. And so I interviewed her. I spent hours with her and I did a feature, and it was one of a really eye-opening experience about the powerful good that can come from AI. I know a lot of the time you look at generative AI and maybe predictive AI about how it can be used to make money. But what she's doing to change that and the power, resources, and self-determination it takes to create an institute like that, it's, you know, inspiring. So I'd say those are the stories. I'm sure someone will reach out and be like, how dare you leave this out? But those are the ones that...
It's hard. It's like, who's your favorite child, right?
Exactly.
Oh, it's so hard.
I hope it doesn't sound like I'm boasting.
No, not at all. It's quite the adventure. And what does it look like, you know, CBC and BBC? How does that work, both reporting for two different parts of the world?
You know, it's really great working for two, I would say, quite respected public broadcasters. The great thing with the BBC is that it, you know, my segments there, I mean, you could listen to them in Canada, but it's World News Service. So it's in 36 countries around the world. So people, you know, people you don't know, people that I may never meet are listening to the stories and thoughts and opinions on what's happening in Canada and the world. And we have a lot of stories. I just want to add, I think a lot of Canadians underestimate how many, you know, amazing products, services come out of this country. Also, how, you know, some of the events that happen here have ripples around the world. I don't want to sound dated, but the Canada Post strike that's happening right now, I mean, I just did a segment on that not too long ago. There are people around the world who are trying to send mail, you know, to Canada. There are businesses around the world that rely on Canada Post. So that's a major, major impactful piece. But the BBC is for a completely different audience than CBC, which is where you listen to me on the radio. I'm across the country talking about issues that affect Canadians. And I have a really great one coming out next week, but all the issues are focused on, you know, what can someone who's in PEI and someone who's in Vancouver, what are the stories that will impact, that they value, that will help open their eyes?
It's amazing. I meet with journalists and know journalists who see so much, hear so much, and in their free time, they are sad, frustrated, you know, but not, you know, using the time to the point where I watched what you've done and you've seen things and heard things and watched things and maybe seen a very kind of homogenous tech industry. And it looks like when you launch Venture Kids, and really going after youth living in underserved communities. Where do you find that motivation? Where does that come from inside of you to actually do that?
Yeah, deep sigh, right? The motivation, honestly, it comes from, honestly, talking to people like you. I mean, it can be a very lonely experience, entrepreneurship as well as journalism. I think they have a lot in common. So as a journalist, a lot of the times you're looking for stories, you're hunting down stories, you're interviewing people, you're reaching out to people, cold calling. A lot of the time, you know, if it's breaking news, people perhaps don't have the time to talk to you. There are other things they need to do. And it's the same with entrepreneurship. A lot of the time, you know, for those who are in the early stages, if they don't have a co-founder, they're doing a lot of this on their own. And even if they do have someone by their side, it's a lot of cold calling. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of organization, long days, little sleep. So it helps to meet like-minded people who believe that helping people in of itself is noteworthy and incredibly needed. I think in journalism, we do tend to focus on stories that don't always have a happy outcome. That's just the nature of the game. A lot of newsworthy stories don't necessarily have a happy ending. And so it pushes me to seek out my own happy ending, you know, to find whatever's happening that's positive. And sometimes that, you know, it's down to an individual to kind of create that happy ending or something purposeful out of something bad. So I think that's where that inspiration comes from. I'm not afraid of a challenge. And there aren't many people who look like me in tech as well. I can count on one hand the women who write about tech in North America. So, and by that I mean at major publications. So, not afraid of a challenge, but at the same time, I want to leave this world making it a little bit better.
Amazing.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/redcircle.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I want to give a shout out, and I'd love to hear some shout outs from you around women who are doing amazing stuff in tech. So I'm thinking of like Sarah Stockdale at GrowClass, training more and more growth marketers to be in tech and doing an incredible job.
Yeah. So the thing is, if I shout out these women and I ever write about
it'll
them,
go for, it'll be like 2 hours or forever.
It'll take forever. But also if I ever write about them, people will be like, well, you obviously just gave them a shout out.
I hear you. Oh, because you got to be careful as a journalist because you got to like, yes, I hear it. You love everyone. So let's just leave it at that.
Everyone equally.
So I get a shout out in though. Okay. What's up, Sarah? You're awesome. Love the work you do.
But there are like some organizations that like are doing great things that I think like are trying to help turn the tide. You know, I'm based in Toronto, and I think nonprofits in general are overlooked when it comes to the good they do for society, particularly in the tech space. You would be surprised at how many food banks and nonprofits, et cetera, are the ones feeding workers and are helping those who have been recently laid off look for new jobs or assisting them when it comes to finding new housing. So I'd say in the tech space, those specific groups, you know, universities and colleges, they're often overlooked, but they're a core part of what makes the tech sector work too.
Hmm. Wow. And what you're doing too with working with people and training them and what you're seeing and hearing, like what's a trend? Like is it getting harder to recruit people into your program? Is it getting easier? Are you getting wait lists? Like where are things at with the programming?
Yeah. So we have a wait list actually for our most recent program. And I would say it's because it's incredibly hard right now. There are so many people who are having a hard time finding work. There are a lot of people who have been laid off. So maybe it looks on paper as if they're middle class and they're quite well off, but they're not. And so we've had to expand the number of the types of people and the income levels for our programs to incorporate that need. And I don't know if listeners remember that post recently about 2 million Canadians having to rely on food banks. We hit a record, not a record that we want to hit or we ever expected to, but there's a huge need that is going ignored a lot and undiscussed. And so there are wait lists because with our programs, not only do we provide these free tech services and we work with, you know, institutions and universities, so they're credited, but we also provide them with laptops to borrow throughout the program and we provide them with food. So if you sign up for our program, you get, you're fed and we provide a food basket. So it's just like vegetables, you know, like just basic things like lettuce and carrots and, you know, all of those like essential things that you need that are good for you. We have that delivered to their house. So the family as well feel like, you know, mom and dad don't feel like they have to sacrifice foods that their children can eat.
Wow.
So that takes a lot of time and obviously resources, but I think that's what makes our program a little unique. It's hard to learn on an empty stomach. How do you feed your mind when your body is rebelling? So...
Wow. And what does this look like? Just kind of take us into on this journey as we're journeying with you audio-wise into what a program looks like. Where is it physically? Is it on Zoom or is it in a classroom setting? Who's in the room? Who's teaching? Take us there.
Yeah. So and I want to start off by saying if there's any, you know, volunteers who are interested, we are always looking for people. Please reach out. If there are any sponsors who want to help with our food baskets, we'd love that. But we have a combination of in-person and online. And the online component is really important. I feel that, again, people who are from underserved communities or perhaps financially challenged, it can be hard to, you know, pay for transit to get to A to B, or sometimes if they're sick, they feel like they have to push themselves to show up in person. And then at the end of the day, you're more sick than you would have if you had just been able to give yourself a few days rest. So we do in-person and we do Zoom as well. And so our last class, very amazing, Northeastern University, one of our partners who's been with us from the very beginning. We have their professors who teach our classes, teach some of our classes. And our last session that we had the professor who's teaching generative AI and teaching them how the technology works. They ended up creating their own chatbot at the end of it. We kind of discussed how it works and how misinformation, disinformation, et cetera. A lot of them, you know, were very, I'm going to say chat. That's apparently what you call it now, not ChatGPT. Young people don't call it ChatGPT. It's just chat. A lot of them misunderstood how generative AI works. They just assumed it was always honest and truthful, like Google search. And so there was a lot of education about how it works, how you can work in the industry, but also how to understand the fundamentals of it. But so they show up for classes. You know, we have like a little breakthrough game. We have the professor who goes and starts teaching the class. We break for lunch. Usually we'll have like a vegetarian, vegan, halal option. And then we have the rest of the class. And then, you know, it's kind of so forth and so forth for a week. And at the end of it, again, it's really great because they have a certificate that they get from the university or college or institution. And again, that's not a substitute in any way for a four-year degree or a college certificate. But for many of the youth that we work with, college, university is a financial burden they can't take on. So at least that will help them when it comes to either applying for scholarships or applying for internships. And so we have AI, we have a coding class, we have a visual UX, and then we also have an entrepreneurship class. And so they take these classes and they get a certificate from us or our partners. And it's meant to, first of all, fill in the gaps that exist because not every school board teaches these fundamental basics. But at the same time, it's also designed to help them seek out internships, whether it's paid or unpaid. And for those who are looking for, you know, after a couple of years, they're looking to go to university or college, it helps with the application process.
It's incredible. So if you're in the GTA area and want to volunteer, that's what you want people kind of local at this stage before you kind of bring this across the country at this moment,
yeah,
correct?
We'd love to bring it across the country. So we're, you know, outside the GTA, across the province, we have students who sign in online and they can do the course. For any volunteers, like we are always looking for people. We just require a police screening. So I'm not sure what that, you know, what the term of that is in other parts of the country. But for us, yeah, it's just you go to a police station and you can pay for a police check, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. And in BC, criminal record check, and nonprofits usually get them for free, which is kind of cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. So as you see this program, give me like, we're sitting here in a year, we're chatting and talk to me like we're sitting in a year and you're looking back and all of your dreams and hopes have come true. Tell me how was Venture Kids this last year?
Yeah.
December 2025.
2025. You know what? We should actually sit down in 1 year.
Yeah, no, for real.
See if my dreams have come true. Yeah. So I guess, you know, 1 year from now, the program remains free. That's a core part of the services and our ethos. So it still remains free. We've managed to scale it beyond the province of Ontario, where we're helping more and more students, not only access education, but food as well. Ideally, we've onboarded more institutions as well. So either colleges or universities. So there's a little bit more variety, not just Ontario-based. And I think ideally, we've changed the conversation around education and food. So if you go to our website, one of the things we're most proud about is that we have a food component. And there are so many young people who are in financially vulnerable settings that honestly do not eat three meals a day. Mm-hmm. They do, you know, access to food is unpredictable. You know, nutrition insecure homes oftentimes, you know, they go without and it can be seen as a mark against one's character. I'm talking about parents here, if they cannot provide food when really the cost of food has increased astronomically. So I would hope that, yes, providing this tech education, we grow and we reach more people and hopefully more people are aware of our services and support us, but also that we've managed to change how we talk about the relation between scholastic success and food.
Wow. That's incredible. And how many do you hope to put through this? I'm going to go back to that. This last year, how many people went through your training program and where are they now?
Yeah. So 130. Yeah. We're really proud of all of them. A lot of them aren't working specifically in tech.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the great thing is educating them about the basics of how this impacts their life and what they're doing. But all of our young adults are working. And so we try to pivot them into working in white collar jobs. And I want to emphasize that there's nothing, you know, it doesn't matter what industry you work in, but for many of our youth, that will be the first time they've entered a white collar type job. And so they use our teachings, but also our connections to universities and colleges to be able to find work. So we have one individual who's working for a startup. It's, you know, they're quite early stage. They've only raised about, like 500,000. So they're like a baby minnow, but he's working there. He's doing really great. He's only doing communication writing right now, but hopefully that job will lead to something at one of the bigger tech firms or perhaps something a little bit more substantive and reliable. So the goal isn't always for our kids to work in tech. It's for them to be able to use that information, which I think everyone working in, you know, society should understand how to use generative AI and all these tools is to help them find work within like well-paying work. And can I just add that I did mention the entrepreneurship angle, and there's this concept that like if you create a startup, your entire mission and goal should be a very lucrative exit. I don't believe that should be the case. I think tech can change lives in a really incredible, permanent, transformative way. And so some of our kids are creating startup ideas that will help their community, but won't necessarily return a huge sum of money. So one of our kids, they came up with this basketball app, and this is very Toronto focused. But the idea is that, you know, when you go to different basketball courts in the city, some of them aren't maintained in the same way. So, you know, a basketball court, I'm not going to say a neighborhood or community, but, a basketball court in community X is better than a basketball court in community Y. And so if you're a young person and you pay like the $3 to get on the TTC and go there and like, oh, you know, the rim's not there. Oh, the ground's under construction. You just wasted that money, right?
Yeah.
His idea was you crowdfund the information so you know before you even get there whether that court is worthy of playing on. So I think we have the kids create these ideas with the idea of like, how does this help your community? Not necessarily how can you make money off of this? And that is like the conversation with most techpreneurs. It's like, how can I make money off of this idea? How can I use tech to personally enrich myself when there are a lot of communities in need and people who are suffering?
That is amazing. And what you've been able to nurture and grow in that world. How can people that are listening right now support the work you're doing? Whether it's, you know, if they're in Toronto, they can volunteer, they can provide food, support, sponsor food. What other ways can they volunteer or get involved?
Yeah, so there are a couple of ways. One is we're always looking for people who want to volunteer. So do you want to share your information? Do you want to share your experience, some of your skills? That would be great. If you want to help teach some of our programs, we're always looking for volunteers. And the great thing is, there is an online component. So if you're not located in Toronto, that's perfectly okay. If you support the idea of feeding young, vulnerable students, and you know maybe farmers or you know grocery stores, you know anything of that sort, sometimes you know they have what's called ugly food. You know, it doesn't look pristine, and usually that's maybe thrown out or It's donated to food banks. Please think of us. We definitely would make sure that that food goes to those who would enjoy it. And yeah, if you have old laptops, and we have laptops that are sometimes missing keys, they've been in better shape. But trust me, to a student who doesn't have one at all and they have to maybe commute 30 minutes to the public library, any device would make a huge difference.
Incredible. And where can we find you online? Where can people learn more about the program?
You can go to venturekids.ca. So that's the program. And then for myself, I'm just online at Takara Small. I'm not really on X anymore. Not there too often, but I am, on like Insta and TikTok and yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing about what you do.
It's so odd to be interviewed. I usually am the one asking the questions. So this is so unusual. I feel like I want to turn around and be like, so what's going on with you? How are you doing?
Oh, have the turntables turned.
Exactly. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us this week on Marketing News Canada. Learn more with all the notes there. There'll be links and all sorts of extra features there. And we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.